Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi first quarter 2015 consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group first quarter 2015 results conference call. As usual, we will kick off the call with some brief comments on the group results, and then we will leave room for a Q&A session. To start, let me say that global demand for small domestic appliances during the first quarter of 2015 recorded overall a positive trend. For sure, many markets were still characterized by very uncertain conditions, linked, among other things, to unstable or uncertain political situations. But in general, our industry proves to be a quite resilient one. At the same time, the foreign exchange market had again a material impact on the group's quarterly performance, with an evident effect on the financial results. Both revenues and margins were affected, although in an opposite way. As far as revenues are concerned, the widespread depreciation of the euro against many currencies more than compensated the weakness of Russian ruble and Ukraine's hryvnia, which led us to positive FX impact. On margins, instead, the FX impact was negative, due to the appreciation of two very important sourcing currencies, the US dollar and Chinese yuan, against the euro. Despite the challenging environment, the group continued to implement its growth strategies, investing in A&P and R&D, in order to support the high-end positioning of its brands and products. The first quarter witnessed also the launch of some important new products, like the new De'Longhi Nespresso Latissima Touch, as well as the new ironing systems range for Braun. Moving on now to the group performance, Q1 revenues reached 368 million, up by 9% or 6.2% at constant exchange rates. By geography, Europe grew 7.8% thanks to a particularly strong contribution of Southwest Europe, up 15.4%, driven by Italy, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Spain, Portugal, which were up all double digits. Contribution from Northeast Europe area was slightly negative at -3.6% due to lower revenues in Russia, although stable in constant currency, and Ukraine. Excluding Russia and Ukraine, affected by sharp currency devaluations, the region's growth would have been positive by 6.8%, led by UK and Poland. Revenues of APA, Asia Pacific Americas, increases strongly, up 15.5%. Growth was led by Australia and New Zealand, up about 20%, as well as by US, Mexico, Brazil, China, and Hong Kong. The Middle East, India, and Africa region was up 2.5%, despite some persistent political tensions in the area, thanks to the positive contribution from Saudi and UAE. By product, the quarter's highlight is probably that the very strong performance of coffee makers, up double digit. Coffee growth was driven especially by fully automatic machines, by internally manufactured capsule machines, Latissima, and Dolce Gusto, and by traditional pump machines. Strong contribution also from cooking and food preparation segment, thanks especially to fryers, the new De'Longhi Multi-Fry as well as two toasters and kettles. The ironing segment confirmed its double-digit growth trend with a strong contribution of Braun. In this segment, in particular, we expect to see over the coming quarters the contribution of the newly launched Braun ironing system range, which has been basically had no impact in the first quarter. Comfort had a slight positive performance, with some weakness in heating, more than compensated by higher sales in air conditioning and air treatment. Finally, the Braun relaunch continues as planned, with a strong contribution from the brand, both in kitchen and ironing space. About margins, operating margins at constant currencies had a very strong performance. Net industrial margin reached 187 million, or 52% of revenues, up from 47.6 in quarter one 2014, while EBITDA before non-recurring items reached 62.9 million, or 17.5% of revenues, up from 13.6. This performance was achieved thanks to a stronger volumes growth, especially in the high-end coffee makers and in general to the kitchen space, as well as to a positive price effect. After foreign exchange rate impact worth about minus 11.4 million, net industrial margin increased from 161 million in quarter one 2014 to 175 million in 2015, down 0.1% percentage points on revenues. Similarly, after a foreign exchange impact worth about minus 15.5 million, EBITDA before non-recurring items increased by 2.6% to 47 million euros, 12.8% of revenues, up from 46 million euros, 13.6% of revenues. EBIT was equal to 35 million euros, 9.5% of revenues, about stable versus the previous year, due to the higher D&A increasing by about 1.5 million euros from 2014, linked to the industrial investment made by the group in China and Romania. Net financial charges were about 10.9 million euros, slightly down from 11.6 in 2014, due to lower financing charges and securitization costs. Net income pertaining to the group reached 17.4 million euros, up from 17.1 million in 2014. Now I'll move to briefly comment on some key balance sheet items. As of March 31st, 2015, the group was in a net cash position of 150 million euros, improving from 55 million euros net debt position as of quarter one 2014. The net cash flow generated by the group over the 12-month period equaled 205 million, which is particularly remarkable considering that during the period the group cashed out about 120 million between dividends and CapEx. Excluding non-cash components, the net financial position versus banks and third-party lenders was positive by 143 million euros compared to positive net financial position of 4.6 million euros as of the end of March 2014, implying a positive cash flow of about 139 million euros. Finally, the net working capital was down by about 4 million from March 2014, decreasing from 17% to 15.6%. In part, also thanks to some higher use of the securitization scheme. Last comments about outlook and guidance. I want to share with you update you for what we see for the fiscal year 2015. First of all, I think that the group quarter one results provide evidence of espresso coffee makers' growth potential, as well of the longest leading position in the category across the three families of fully automated, capsules, and traditional machines. Moreover, food preparation and cooking appliances continue to perform very well, thanks to both Kenwood, Braun, and De'Longhi brands, making the overall kitchen segment more and more important to the group. Still, at the same time, we start to see the results of our investments in the ironing space with Braun branded products continuing to deliver strong double-digit growth quarter after quarter. With regards to foreign exchange rate impact, we know that although the EBITDA expansion in the quarter has been limited to the negative currency effect worth some minus 15.5 million euros, we are particularly pleased by such performance, considering that in the first quarter, the group has already recorded around 50% of the total FX impact estimated for the full year, which we now forecast to be around minus 30 million on EBITDA. Moreover, the group has been working to compensate the FX impact both via price increases, whose effects should become even more visible over the next quarters, and via operational efficiencies. Maybe it's also worthwhile to mention that even growing volumes represent another powerful lever to offset adverse FX movements, thanks to the group's operating leverage. To sum up, with quarter one results behind us, and also after seeing our growth rates confirmed also in April, we now have even higher visibility that De'Longhi can meet its goals of growing revenues in 2015 at a mid to high single digit rate, as well as of increasing EBITDA in absolute terms. With this, my introduction is over and I leave room to Q&A session.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I will start with three questions. The first is related on the price increase that you were commenting. If you could elaborate a little bit more on the areas where you are increasing prices and timing, and if possible also on the size of the price increases. Second, some more color on what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, given the Q1 trend, in particular in volumes, if I understood properly. And third, on the cooking division category, if you can help us in understanding how was the growth in this area, in particular for the cooking machines.
Okay, yes. With regard to price increase, we are moving on according to plans in implementing price increases. I would say that Russian and Ukraine, let's say Eastern European markets, have already fully implemented the new price lists. We are also now implementing the price increases in so-called Western Europe, from say Spain to Germany to Austria and Italy, all the Western European markets. These price increases in certain markets have already been implemented and will be we think fully visible by the end of June. So we probably have still some little transition, but we will say by the end of June see fully the price increases. So by the end of June, as a beginning of July, we will have completed the new price strategy for the group. With the new pricing, we think that we are well ahead of of the sale of time and schedule, also with regards to the 2016 further exchange rate impact. So probably will be very, very limited, the impact eventually of currencies for us in 2016. With regards to Russia and Ukraine, markets are difficult, markets are slow. The long is performing very well. We see we tend to grow our market share again in Russia and Ukraine. And also, I think we have a good product mix, as probably some of our traditional focus areas and focus categories are outperforming other categories which are maybe decreasing more rapidly in Russia. We think that right now is the worst moment in Russia. We think that once the ruble will stabilize, probably also we will see progressively consumers going back to stores and buying again appliances. The third point is about cooking appliances. We're doing very well with cooking appliances. I'm not sure, maybe your question was also with regards to kitchen machines.
Yeah, in particular on kitchen machines. In general, you were commenting
The kitchen machines, maybe you noticed that we didn't mention the growth in kitchen machines. After a very buoyant year, we are maybe a slightly slower start because of maybe the weakness in the Middle East and certain regions. But so for the moment is the number of kitchen machines is slightly negative, but we don't see this as a signal for a trend, but it's just probably following a very strong performance in 2014 when we had a very strong double-digit growth for the segment. We think that the kitchen machines will continue to be, together with espresso, one of the growth engines for the group going forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. My question are essentially two. One is on the cash generation and your net financial position. I was a bit surprised by the positive cash generation, because generally you absorb cash. I was looking back at your trends in the first quarter compared with December. Generally, you absorb cash in the first quarter. So if you can elaborate that, if it's a one-off effect or it was your good performance in working capital. The second question is related to the effect of Forex across the various margin in the P&L. I would have expected that the Forex effect would have impacted more in the gross margin, but it seems it was more in the service level. So if you can explain us as the Forex impact your cost categories. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay, with the cash generation, yes, indeed, cash generation was very strong for the quarter, probably stronger than usual. I have to say that one of the pillars of the equity story of De'Longhi today is the cash generation. I think we've been delivering strong cash, very strong cash generation across, the quarters and many years in a row now, but for sure this year we have outperformed last year. I have to also say that probably last year was a probably weaker year in terms of cash generation in the first quarter. Now the trend is more has been more in line with for instance 2013. With 2013, so I think that generally speaking, but your comment is correct, that the first quarter tend to be less strong in terms of cash generation, but probably this year the performance has been more in line with 2013 rather than 2014, where the performance was a bit weaker. On top of that, remind you that we got benefits also from the currencies. We have some revaluation of some cash that is held in non-euro currencies like US dollar or pound or Hong Kong dollar, and the conversion now has created benefits in terms of financial position. Also, the hedging in place for 2015, we have approximately 40 million euro of fair value, positive fair value, because of the hedging policy we have in place. So these two elements, the conversion of the cash in non-euro currencies and the fair values, are definitely making even more evident the performance of the group and this very strong, more operational cash generation that we had in the quarter. With regards to FX, we had about 11 million euro negative impact on the gross margin, and also we had 4 million euro negative on service costs, which in some cases are also related to cost of goods sold. Sometimes transportation costs are denominated in dollar and are included in the service costs, but also other costs related to the markets.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Filippo Prini of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Mr. Prini, your line is open.
Can you hear me?
Hey. Not very well. Sorry. Can you speak louder or closer to the mic?
First one, level of factoring.
No, sorry, we can hear you. Sorry.
Now?
No.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no.
Okay. I go on. Sorry. The first question pertains to the level of factoring, if any of them on the first quarter, and the second, if you give us a bit of color on the sell-out data on Russia, so which is the mood of distributors in Russia, and which expectation for the remaining quarters of the year there. Thank you.
Okay, so I hand over to Michele the first question. Mr. Michele.
Yes, the overall level of securitization and factoring, and taking into account that today we have the major part is securitization and factoring is limited to a small amount, is 101 million euros. It's about 80 million euros, which is comparing to the same quarter of 2014, which was 68. So there has been, as Mr. De Longhi said, a slight increase in using of securitization. And the second, which was the second question, Filippo? Sorry, it's Marco here.
Sorry. The indication on the sellout data in the last available sellout data in Russia. If you have any of them, of course.
Yes, Filippo, it's Marco again. So the indication of sellout in Russia, what we see from the market data is that
Stellantis is doing pretty well in Russia, and in fact, probably what we see in terms of revenues and sell-in is more of a selling phenomenon, maybe linked also to some inventory effect that might, I mean, it's just guessing in some cases, but you know of the rush to buy towards the end of last year in Russia in anticipation of the price increases, and it might be that in some product categories, I mean, retailers also made some say, buying in advance of the price increases. And so you might see some impact on the sell-in. At the same time, what we said is that thanks to the price increases, the amount of revenues that we generate in local currencies has remained stable. Plus, probably also worth mentioning the fact that the Russian ruble opened 2015 with a very, very depressed level. Now it's a little bit better, so we will see how it evolves throughout the year.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead. Ms. Patrice, your line is open. Ms. Patrice, maybe your phone is on mute?
Yes, hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Just a couple of questions from my side. First, when you were talking about the guidance, mid to high single digit sales growth, I just wanted to double check that you're talking about organic growth, so without foreign exchange impact. Second question, when you were mentioning the growth rate across the region, so for example, 15% growth in APA, etc., is that also organic growth or is it including the foreign exchange impact? The third question is about the brown new steam generator. So there was almost no impact in Q1. What would you think or give some indications what should be the impact overall in the full year this year from this new product? And then also if you can just share a little bit more your views on the Romanian plant. So what is the current capacity utilization of this plant? What do you expect it to be going forward? So by the end of this year, are you going to insource and shift some production from Asia into Romania? Or like a little bit more details about it. Thank you.
Sorry, Anne-Patrice, the line was very much disturbed. If I can just sum up the questions very quickly. Guidance on organic growth, the first question. The second, about the numbers I gave about growth rate, if it's organic or reported, and then new products impact as a third question, and fourth question about the industrial platform switch from Asia to Europe eventually. Is this correct?
Yeah, so the last question was also about the current utilization rate in Romania. And where do you see the utilization rate?
Exchange rate in Romania.
The capacity utilization. So how do you consider a big increase in the capacity utilization in Romanian plant or not? And what kind of products are you thinking and when to move to this plant?
Okay, thank you. So first of all, guidance, guidance for growth between 5 and 10% is organic growth. You saw in the first quarter growth has been around 6% organic growth, and say delivered growth was around 9%. So I would say that this should be more or less the goal we have for the year. In terms of results that I disclosed you today, I was referring to reported growth and not organic growth, so impacted by exchange rates. Also with regards to Asia and Pacific and Americas region. With regard to new products, indeed we have a strong pipeline of new products. We have new fully automatic coffee makers. We have the new Latissima Touch, which is performing very well. Last year we launched a kitchen machine, Chef Sense, and also a multi-fry. So these are the key products for the year. Probably the strongest product lines in the first quarter have been our fully automatic coffee machines again, and also a strong performance of Latissima. So probably the two stars in the quarter have been fully autos again and Latissima. Frankly, the growth of fully autos, I think is more because of a general trend in coffee and fully automatic coffee machines, rather than a success of a very specific new launch or model, which to a certain extent is good news. There is a sign that the fully automatic machine market is still strong and buoyant, and we can, I think, rely on a good growth also for the months to come. With regards to last question, and Romania, the plant, and switching from Asia to Europe again, and the utilization rate of the plant. Now the plant is not yet fully utilized. We still have some available space to add incremental production. We were growing. Say the volumes from Romania are growing very rapidly. So we think also we will add further product lines and further productions in the next months. And as a matter of fact, we are entering now, say, a new 3-year plan investment. We implemented a new investment in Romania, which will develop over the next 3 months. We will do more coffee makers. We will start making also food preparation in Romania. For the moment, we are not yet considering moving back production from Asia to Europe. This is more reorganizing, reallocating productions within the European scope. So we're moving from some third-party suppliers in Eastern Europe for Braun, and we have moved some productions from Italy to Romania. So for the moment, Romania is not receiving products from Asia. Obviously, we are now monitoring the exchange rate, and we are constantly making evaluation. For the moment, we have no plans to move production from Asia to Europe, particularly after the most recent rebound of the dollar, which now is let's say closer to 1.14 rather than to 1.06 as approximately 1 month ago.
The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
My first question is related to your guidance on EBITDA. You are referring to absolute growth in EBITDA. Should I read this as that you are more confident on growing the EBITDA instead of growing the margin? So are you less confident on the ability to keep the margin at last year level? And second question, you are referring to investments in R&D and advertising promotion in Q1. Could you give us a flavor indication on what was the trend compared to last year? And third, on raw material tailwind, did you enjoy any relevant, meaningful support in your number from raw materials? And can you elaborate also for the full year guidance?
So with regard to the first question, the guidance is we want to grow EBITDA in absolute value. We don't think we will grow EBITDA margin.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to get as close as possible and to offset the headwinds of currencies through the actions that I've already explained, price increases, cost control, hopefully mix, and also operational leverage for incremental sales, which will help to offset the currency headwinds. But again, we think that this year the message is we want to deliver EBITDA growth in absolute value rather than so it could be possible to have some erosion in EBITDA margin, but still to deliver EBITDA growth.
Even though, Justin, sorry to interrupt you, even though the bulk of the, no, I'm not saying the bulk, but a good part of the FX headwind was already incurred in Q1, where you had some margin erosion, but then seasonally is not really the most relevant quarter. So from this respect, your guidance of 30 million FX impact is leaving, say, a more modest headwind in the next 9 months.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's why I gave a general positive outlook for the remainder of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the situation is quite complex. We have instability in many markets like North Africa, Middle East. Russia is still critical, and Ukraine is certainly not easy. We had a very buoyant beginning of year performance with fully out of the mega, which we think is going to be a very strong trend. But it's very difficult to foresee the future. So we agree. Maybe the worst in terms of impact because of the currencies has already happened in the first quarter. But very often we have bad news on the currencies in the last months and years, so we are a bit prudent. So I want just to be prudent, maybe, and I reiterate our guidance to, let's say, 5 to 10% organic growth and EBITDA expansion, but not necessarily EBITDA improvement, EBITDA margin improvement, and maybe EBITDA margin erosion, but limited because of the actions that are in place.
And last point, how do you see the Southwestern Europe perform? Because it was very strong, and also other competitors reported very strong numbers in Europe, in Western Europe in general. Your prudence is also related to maybe some prudence in projecting the next few quarters, or do you see a more structural trend here?
No. I'm not very prudent in terms of growth. I'm more prudent in terms of margin, because I say we can grow between 5 and 10% as a company, which I think is quite a strong statement. We are very confident. We have a good product pipeline. We are in a very growing segments, espresso and food preparation, and market shares are good. We are, in general, I think we're growing our market shares. Again, we are facing headwinds in terms of currencies. We have to increase prices. We have already increased prices. You will see more in the next quarter and for the remainder of the year. Obviously, we want to have some prudence as the first quarter has been, in the end, very tough in terms of exchange rates.
Okay.
The next question is a follow-up from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, thank you. Just three follow-up from my side. Talking about the price increases, probably I missed you were already answering some other questions, but can you give a bit more details in which countries you're increasing the prices? And also, is it possible for you to increase the prices in the mature countries, let's say, you know, in your key European countries, in Italy, in Germany, in Southeastern Europe, etc. The second question is, you mentioned that, you know, the growth in Northeast Europe was negative. If we exclude Russia, it was positive, high single digit. So if I try to estimate what was the impact from Russia on the organic growth, would it be correct that adjusted for Russia, the organic growth, well, let's say outside Russia, the organic growth was already closer to 10% that you guide, well, the upper range of your guidance. And then the last question is on the Braun. How important do you think is the launch of the Braun steam generators for Braun and for the group this year? I mean, is it a significant contribution to earnings and to sales or not yet? And maybe then the last question, you were saying that probably, if I understood correctly, the A&P advertising was up in Q1. If you can just comment how much in terms of percentage as of sales that was, and what are expectations for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Okay, sorry, again, the line was very much disturbed. So the first question was about the price increases. The second was about organic growth in Russia and then excluding Russia. The third one was about Braun and particularly the ironing systems. And the fourth was about A&P in the first quarter and for the remainder of the year.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so price increases. Yes, but we were implementing price increases mainly in Western Europe now. It's obviously it's more difficult as Europe is not used to price increases or has not been for a number of years. But now I would say that most of the competitors are also increasing prices. So. We are increasing prices. We have already agreed the price increases with our customers in the markets, and will be implemented. So I'm quite positive on our ability to deliver improved margins or to offset the exchange rate impact on cost of goods sold because of higher prices. Thanks to say the actions that have been put in place by the sales teams. The second about organic growth in Russia. Say Russia is approximately 100 million euro in sales. We have implemented very strong price increases in Russia. We expect negative organic growth in Russia for the year. We have guidance in certain segments. The market is going down in volume, so excluding currencies and excluding price increases, is going down between 20% and 30%. Some of the categories where we are in, like coffee, are quite resilient. Particularly, we're doing well in fully automatic coffee makers. So we think that. Probably we can expect a decline in volume in Russia, maybe around, let's say, 10%. But we can have, then we have to consider negative currency exchange rate, which we will offset through price increases. So our goal is for organic, negative organic growth of approximately 10%, offsetting currency effect through price increases, which have been already implemented in the market. The third is Braun. Indeed, in the long term, ironing systems, irons are a segment which is huge. We think we have a strong brand, so it can be a very important growth engine again for the group. We are relaunching Braun now with ironing systems. We have positive feedback. Also, we won an award recently as the best ironing system in the market, a sign that our R&D teams have done a good job in the new release. And we think that we will continue to grow Braun, hopefully double-digit according to the plan. So I think that for sure ironing system can be an accelerator for Braun. With regards to the last question, A&P impact, in the quarter, we might have differences from one quarter to another. We reiterate our long-term goal to have an investment in A&P around 10% on a yearly basis. So you might see some differences quarter to quarter due to phasing of investments, but in general the goal should be to be around 10%. As our goal for AMP, sorry, R&D is around 3 to 3.5% on sales.
The next question is from Nicola Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm just wondering if we could have an update on the hedging policies in place for 2015-2016 on the US dollar, please.
I hand over to Fabrizio Micheli the question.
Yeah. Hi, Nicola. The hedging on dollar is mainly on two cross rates, which is the dollar versus euro and dollar versus the GB pound. And for 2015, we have hedged, say in total terms, more or less 80% of our global exposure for the year. At an exchange rate which is around 1.29. For next year, 2016, we have already started hedging, taking advantage of the recent spikes of euro-dollar exchange rate, so hedging starting from 1.10 and above. So far, we are still, say, below 50% of the exposure because we don't want to hedge too in advance, and we understand that some more benefit could be taken in the next trend for the dollar. Of course, we are strongly monitoring the market, and we are very active in trying to get, let's say, a protection in respect of the say dangerous levels that we have seen in the first months of this year. I mean, close to 1.05.
All right. Thanks a lot.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Stephanie Bokchev of FDE. Please go ahead.
Yes, maybe you can comment about the cash use and the fact that you have a net cash situation, which is 140 at the end of March, and maybe comment on acquisition prospects you may have. Thank you.
Yes, no, we confirm the figures that we gave you about the cash position. The net financial position at March 31st, 2015 was 150 million euro. Well, we have a lot of cash, and of course we say we are now considering acquisition. Acquisition M&A would be one of our growth pillars for the group. We also say want to say that we will be selective. We are not in a hurry. We are very selective. We want to buy companies, brands, well positioned in the, let's say, high end of the market, which can help through their products, help the group to continue its growth in the high end segment, and we want sustainable growth acquisitions. So the perspective is for sure we can go back to M&A. We have nothing imminent. There is nothing we are working on currently that should be disclosed in the near future. But again, we are active and we hold out a position neither in North America, Europe or Asia, provided that meets our strategy, investing in high-end brands and companies with strong products and superior, let's say, superior competitive advantage in relevant and markets for the group.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. There is a follow-up question from Andrea Bonfà of Banca Aletti. Please go ahead.
Hi. Again, on the, let's say, potential impact of the Forex in 2016, if I understood correctly, during the conference call, you mentioned that thanks to your prices increases, which will have full effect after, let's say, July, you are also protected from any Forex impact on your numbers, your profitability, let's say, in 2016. Did I understood correctly, or if you can elaborate on that, thank you very much.
You're right. So we are increasing pricing, would be effective, are effective now, and would be effective in certain markets in the next months. The pricing are such that once that would be fully implemented on a yearly basis, it will also help to partially offset the impact of exchange rates in 2016, but let's say for the non-hedged let's say considering that we might hedge the dollar, our rates which are less convenient than the hedging rates of 2015.
And if I may, with this pricing policy in place, let's suppose that Forex will stay at the current level. Can you already comment if you can expand EBITDA margin next year?
It's too early to say. I would say we should have a step-by-step policy to do things step-by-step. This year we are offsetting a part of the impact thanks to the price increases that we will implement. We will have some positive fallback in 2016. So we think that for sure we're going in the right direction, but it's a little bit too early to speak about margin expansion EBITDA margin expansion in 2016.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. De'Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you all for attending the De'Longhi Quarter 1 2015 conference call. Bye-bye. Thank you.